Good evening. You're listening to Local Matters on News Talk 94.1. I'm Tiffany Anton from the Biz Foundry, and I have Dee Prince, extraordinaire, and that's just where we're going to go.
Awesome. Thank you for having me here.
Right now, currently, your job is at the Child Advocacy.
Yeah, so the CASA.
It's a newer thing that you're doing.
So yes, this is a new realm for me. Whereas I was in manufacturing previously, and then
human resources
for about 17 years. But now I am over at the UCHRA, the CASA program, which is Court Appointed Special Advocates. We are advocates on the side of the children, giving them a voice. And I'm the new director, and I'm the director over four counties, which include Cumberland, Smith, Overton, and Putnam.
And this is a new program that they just started, or you just took over the director position?
I just took over the director role. It's actually a program that's been in our area for 20 years.
Now. Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's kind of reverse. Let's start at the beginning a little bit. So you're a military family. You grew up in the military.
I'm a military brat. Yeah, that's what they call it.
Where were you born? Where were you?
So originally born in Brooklyn, New York, and then moved to Tennessee for a short time, and then moved out to California, Travis Air Force Base. Then from Travis Air Force Base in California, moved to San Vito Air Station, which is in Brindisi, Italy. And then from there, our last military tour was Enid, Oklahoma, Vance Air Force Base.
So what year was it that you finally kind of settled down in the Putnam County area?
So I came to Putnam County, and this is, of course, telling my age, but in 1992, I was a freshman at Tennessee Tech.
Tennessee Tech. So you decided to come here. Why Tennessee Tech?
My father is originally from Franklin, Tennessee, and I had an uncle that attended Tennessee Tech University. He was extremely active. He's a member of Alpha Phi Alpha fraternity, the Black Student Union. It was an amazing thing for me to come here and visit him. So it was between here and West Virginia, University of West Virginia. Mm-hmm. It was just something about Cookeville that kept me here. And so I enrolled.
Which is interesting because you do have a background in football.
Yes.
And University of West Virginia has a bigger
football program. Absolutely.
It's politically correct as I can say that.
That's as politically correct as you'll get. Yeah, at the time, West Virginia was ranked in the top 10, I believe, in football, or the top 10 in basketball and the top 5 in football. And I was young and immature, and if they weren't saying the things that I wanted to hear, which was, hey, you're going to come in and play automatically, then I didn't want to hear it. I'm 18 years old at the time. So it was one of those situations where I came here, and I just got acclimated with the area. I remember going to Walmart at that time and people not turning off their cars and letting their cars run because they were just running in to grab something real quick. And for me, that was amazing that, you know, you could live in an area that just kind of boasted that type of security. So
you chose to go to Tennessee Tech.
Absolutely.
And were you playing sports at Tennessee Tech?
So unfortunately, and let this be a lesson to the younger generation that's getting ready to go off to college, I was classified under something that was called Proposition 48. Which was you didn't have the proper high school requirements in order to participate in sports. So my first year of eligibility, I couldn't play, I couldn't participate or anything. And that just kind of moved me into not even really trying to come back from that. It was really deflating. It's something that, you know, people that are close to me know about. It was really heartbreaking, but it was my doing. And that's what I was concentrating on into making sure that I was eligible and making sure that my grades were there so I was able to graduate.
So you were here. You graduated from Tennessee Tech.
I did.
Probably around 96?
Nope. I was on the 10-year plan.
Okay. So, yeah, that happens too.
So life happens. Mm-hmm. Along the way, families, kids, marriages, those types of things. And I actually ended up getting my degree in 2014 when I decided to go back. So I got my degree in interdisciplinary studies with a concentration of business and psychology kind of mashed together, which just means HR. That's all that it really means. Yeah.
So just to do it, finish to get. Mm-hmm. So in that 10 years, what were you doing in that time?
So quite a few things.
And you were in this region
the whole
time.
So I was back and forth. I actually had gone back to Oklahoma for a little while with my parents. And then they retired and I came back out here to Tennessee, went to Knoxville, for my previous marriage. And then, of course came back to Cookeville. Something every time I tried to leave, whether it was Atlanta, whether it was Nashville, stayed in Nashville for a little while, Knoxville, Oklahoma, something compelled me to come back to this area. And I couldn't stay away.
Any idea what that secret ingredient was about? I mean, we hear this all the time. Mm-hmm. But what's your opinion of what's special about Cookeville?
So one of the great things, not just with Cookeville, but with this area, my friends that were in this area had people that they had gone to kindergarten with that they knew in their 30s and, mm-hmm. you know, went to college with. I didn't have that, of course, being a military kid, because the people that I went to kindergarten with or even fifth grade, mm-hmm. You know, they were in other places. So being able to kind of plant my roots here and be established in an area where later I could walk down the street and, you know, see somebody, speak with somebody that knew me when I was 18 years old, that was what was important to me. And then when you start thinking about the area, it's right in the middle. We're in the hub of the Upper Cumberland. And
and really the hub of Chattanooga.
Yes,
Knoxville,
and that's what
Nashville.
I was getting to. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. An hour and 15 minutes to Chattanooga, an hour to Nashville, an hour and 30 minutes to Knoxville. Atlanta's 3 hours. So when you start thinking about those things and you start thinking about your quality of life, you start thinking about security, you start thinking about where you can raise your family, what roots you can plant that will help them grow up with your kids, having your spouses, with everybody just having a good quality of life.
Well, do you think too, I mean, you're young, you're in your early 20s at that time. Mm-hmm. Do you think there was a part of you that had, as a grown man now, mm-hmm. you're really driven, you're really passionate, you really want to see change, you really want to help, you really want to get involved. I mentioned boards and you said, I'm on so many boards.
Yes.
You know, and so do you think in your 20s you thought, I could really make an impact in an area like Cookeville where I might not be able to make that impact in a place like Atlanta?
That's exactly right. So I somewhat noticed, it's almost that thinking that you're in a small pond and you're a big fish.
Mm-hmm.
I know that there weren't a lot of people who were military kids that had moved around in the places that I had lived. So that kind of made me unique. And one of the things that I wanted to do was I wanted to use that to my advantage and become somebody who was making a difference in the community. That's not to say that, you know, the people that were born here or were implanted here that have like minds, that they were any less of an impact in the community. But I really wanted to take my skill set and use that for good, not evil.
Which is interesting at 20-something years old to see that you can kind of have that vision. In case you're just joining us, we have Dee Prince, kind of a leader of the region, on with us today. And so you decide, you know, you spent 10 years kind of going back and forth. And in 2014, did you kind of feel like, okay, I'm going to settle down? I mean, in that time, too, you had a semi-pro football career.
Yes.
You had a music career.
Yes.
and all that from here?
Yes. So I was centered here. Whenever I tell people about these stories, it always comes back to Cookeville, because mm-hmm. Cookeville was where I felt like I could put the headquarters. So with my music career, one of the biggest things was there were so many people, so many different groups, so many local groups, one in particular, Cartel Fam, some great guys that I know. We were all kind of doing music around the same time. And I had more of a up north New York appeal coming from my roots. And what I wanted to do was I wanted to create art. And so in the name of my first album, the name of the first album was Renaissance Volume 1. And the Renaissance meant going back to the Black Renaissance in Harlem, which was an era where all the arts really flourished. And so that's what I was trying to somewhat mimic in this area.
What was that like, trying to create art like that in a predominantly white southern area?
It wasn't as tough as you think it was. Having the resources was very tough. Having the resources like a studio and areas where people could edit and mix down and then distribute. I had to do all of those things, you know, myself in terms of distributing the album and creating the touch that I needed to it. And I, on my first album, I created all the music. I produced it, you know, completely myself. So there wasn't any.
I heard a story that your brother named all. He just
said. My brother sat down. My brother Mark Prince sat down and said, I said, I'm going to make an album. I said, I have beats that I have, you know, that I've produced. But the hard part for me was to actually name them something. So he said, okay, I got you. So he goes back and he has this list of like 15 names. And on there, I just start seeing these names and then these ideas start coming to me. So one in particular was called Dangerous Cats. It's a song that I did with a friend of mine, Brent Savage. And I just had this melody in my head with that title in it. And so, it took off. It took off. That's probably one of my proudest moments.
It was kind of a family affair. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. of everybody, your parents, I've heard you talk about your parents.
Yep.
Very supportive.
Yep.
But so get back to how doing that, in this area and trying to put something out, how were you met with opposition?
Not really. There were a lot of people of opposite cultures and, well, I don't want to say opposite, of different cultures and different colors that were very supportive. You know, buying it when I was selling it for $10 on campus or whatever it was. And we sold out about 3 or 4 times. So there wasn't really the opposition in terms of me creating it and being accepted. The opposition just came of trying to find the resources in the right places.
Well, and we're going to talk a little bit more about what you're doing now with that.
Absolutely.
In a second.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Welcome back. We have Dee Prince, leader of in Cookeville. I mean, there's so many things, so many hats you wear. So we were just talking a little bit about your music career, and so Now you're kind of working on, you're back to music again at 40 something. We're just going to put it out there like that.
Yeah.
And so you're kind of back to that again.
Yeah. So
working on a little project.
I am. So music has always been in my soul. It's always been something that I've that's near and dear to me. And with the passing of my wife in 2018, I wanted to do a final project that was dedicated to her. And it's actually called Heather, you know, H-E-A-T-H-E-R. And it stands for something. It's an acronym. But, of course, I don't want to reveal it right now. But
we will wait and
it's,
see.
Yeah, you're going to have to wait and see. So I don't have a definitive date because right now I'm compiling the music and I've got about 3 actually somewhat near completion. So the recording process has to happen. And then, of course, I have to figure out exactly how I want to do this.
Well, and hours in a day, right?
Like, yeah.
You might have a few things on your plate.
Yeah, a couple of things. But, you know, along with the music, the something that was really near and dear to me in that time frame that I was trying to graduate was semi-pro football. Just coming back to it, as I said before, you know, with being ineligible when I first came to Tennessee Tech, to have the opportunity 17 years later to be able to come in and actually play football. It was so great. The Tennessee Central Express, and then I played with 2 other teams in the MTFL, which is the longest running semi-pro football league in Tennessee. It was just an amazing time. It was
there any time that you felt a little like a grown man and a little kid?
No, because listen, these young guys, I was playing against young guys. The funny story is I actually lied on my player bio. So you had to fill out like an application, player bio. And I was born in 1974. I actually put 1984, which would have made me 24, 25 at the time. Having stories like that I talk about with my teammates, that was just so funny and so fun to have. But semi-pro football was important to me. I was playing against younger guys. I wanted to know that I could do it. And at first I said, you know, I'm just going to play a year or two. That was it. And I ended up playing seven. I ended up becoming the general manager of the team. I ended up owning the team. It was just kind of wild how it came full circle.
And that was based in this area?
Yeah, it was actually started in Monterey, Tennessee by Ken Hall.
How does that feel, I guess, owning a football team in this area? And how does, you know...
Well, it's a little bit different. You're definitely a small business owner. Mm-hmm. You know, your capital, your the money that you have on hand, the operating budget is what it is. It was a, you know, three-person operation. My brother, my wife, and I, we did a lot. There were other people that came along. Of course, my coach, who was also like an advisor of Vince Griffin at the time. You know, it was all of us with all hands on deck for something that we were passionate about.
But I'm sure that passion allowed you an outlet in sports that you liked, or football that you liked.
Yeah.
But then it also probably were some skills that you were able to take into other things that you've done.
Absolutely. So what it helped me do was to understand how people think when it comes to business. Because before I was good with just a handshake and that was the agreement. And then people wouldn't produce what they said that they were going to produce, the services that they said that they weren't going to produce. And so that's helped me along the way with some of the things that I've been involved in.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things probably around that, so it's been 10 years, I think now, 10, 11 years, you started Impact Cookeville as well.
Right.
Tell me about that and how that came about and what is Impact Cookeville for just quickly.
Right. So Impact Cookeville is a minority leadership group. It started around 2009, if I'm not mistaken, about 11 years or so. It was the brainchild of Robert Owens, who's not only one of my good friends, he's also my pastor. He started Impact Cookeville, just wanted some of the like faces, some of the black men to get together and have a space where we could talk, and also where we could create something for the community at large, not just for the black community, but also for Cookeville as a whole. And so that gave way to the Juneteenth celebration, that gave way to our Impact Honors Banquet in February, gave way to the mentoring programs that we have now, the P16 Pipeline to Progress programs. So all of these things kind of started at the genesis. It was just, you know, us trying to get together to make a difference, to make an impact. And so that's what you kind of see now. This is a byproduct of what we started.
Sometimes I think people think Cookeville so small, but mm-hmm. but it is kind of spread out. And yeah. So when you create a group, you can bring people together to
Absolutely.
Know, oh, there's other people that look like me
Absolutely.
Or that have the same ideas of me or have the same driving heart that I have that I want to see make, you know, changes in my community.
Right.
And so sometimes those groups are just really a way to bring everybody together because
Absolutely.
They don't know that the other people exist.
And you start thinking about, we had a lot of members that were implanted that came in from somewhere else. And so when you think about that, they bring resources with them, people that may be from California, South Carolina, wherever it may be. And then when they bring the resources in as well, Cookeville gets to benefit off of them. The black community gets to benefit off of it as well as the community as a whole.
And so, and it's kind of evolved and now it's minorities in general. Mm-hmm. And like you said, you're looking at trying to mentor students, younger
yep.
students. It was kind of a way for a group of men to come together, but it's now your driving force to help students. And
Absolutely.
So it's just really become this big force.
Part of the conversation that I had recently with our president, Jason Knight, was that we have members of Impact somewhat not doing their own thing, but doing things to add to the conversation. And the conversation being, of course, in this climate that we have now is making sure that we can live in an area, especially in our area, our home, with just a better quality of life, that's what it boils down to. So when you start thinking about things that each of us have done, for instance, myself with the charitable initiative that I have, charitable giving initiative that I have in my wife's memory called Legacy 11. Legacy 11 has actually.
So donated. For those people that don't know, your wife had cancer.
Yes. My wife, Heather Prince, was diagnosed in 2016 with metastatic breast cancer, which is cancer that starts in the breast and metastasizes and kind of goes to other places. So she also had it in her spine, her hip, and in her liver. And she fought such a big fight and passed away in April of 2018. And actually the week that she was in the hospital before she passed that Friday, she and I had gone over things, and she actually said, if I don't make it, this was what I would like. And I think it's important that people understand what type of person she was, what type of citizen she was. She cared about people. There were plenty of times where you'd see, somebody who was elderly walking down the street carrying bags. She'd tell me, get in the back and let them in front. And I'm upset, like, you know, why are you kicking me out of my own car? But that's just the type of person she was. She worked in the pharmacy field, and people would tell me, stop me on the street and tell me how great my wife was. She cared about kids. She cared about education. She cared about marriage and families. She cared about people. And so that's what we've been doing for the past 25 months. We've actually been giving, some form of fashion, all the way down from clothes, to a child that was graduating from Cookeville High, because they have to adhere to a dress code. So we bought clothes for him to be able to graduate, to attend the graduation. We paid utility bills for people that have been in accidents. We've taken care of counseling fees for a young couple that was on the verge of divorce.
How can people find out more about your...
So it's a little bit more intimate and a little bit more private. Mm-hmm. Legacy 11, anybody who's looking for me can find me on social media. You can find me. People who may see me out in the area, just ask me about Legacy 11.
Okay.
We don't do the websites and all of those good things because I want it to be intimate. That's on purpose.
Personal.
It's on purpose. I don't want it to be business.
So tell me a little bit. So your wife died in 2018.
She passed in 2018.
And so you have been a single dad.
I've been a solo parent.
And you have 5 children.
So, yeah.
And some of them are older.
Yes.
But you have some young kids too.
Yes.
So tell me about being a young dad. I mean, I'm sure in a community, again, a community like Cookeville, everybody wants to come in and help, and everybody, you know, there's a lot of good souls here.
Yeah, there is a lot of great souls here. So in actuality is the minute that, you know, my wife passed and people heard about it, they all poured into me, everything from bringing me meals to offering to babysit the kids, offering to take the kids for weeks at a time. There were so many people, family members that came in and just said, we have your back. When your arms are too tired to fight, we'll hold you up. And so being a solo parent isn't as bad. But it's just tough knowing that, you know, the difference between single parent, solo parent, single parent, you may have another parent across town that you can take them to, for custody, but a solo parent is that other parent's not there anymore. Mm-hmm. So, I just try to instill being good people into my kids, all the way from the 24-year-old to the 7-year-old.
Do you look for female mentors for them?
Absolutely. You know, my family is tight knit. The females in my family are tight knit, currently in a relationship, and she's extremely good with the kids. So those are the things that matter the most.
Mm-hmm. So you do it all. Let's get back to your job a little bit.
Got it.
So you started as a director of CASA.
Mm-hmm. At CASA.
And so what's been the most rewarding thing? I mean, it's been a weird time to start a new job,
absolutely,
right, in the past couple months. So what's been so far the most rewarding thing?
So the most rewarding thing is having my coordinators. I have 4 coordinators in those various counties that I mentioned. Having them rally around me like I'm rallying around them. I sat down and I listened. A lot of what many of us need to do nowadays is stop lecturing so much and stop talking and start listening. So I rallied around them. They rallied around me. They had the opportunity to tell me what they needed. And now I want, as the director, I want their skill set to be on the case management, to be on the children, making them more important, while I take on a lot of the fundraising and awareness portion.
Anything, any last parting words that you want Cookeville to know about you before we end today?
No, I think I'm a wide open book. I think that the people that know me know where my heart lies. They know who I am in terms of being a father, in terms of being a friend, in terms of being a family member. And I want Cookeville to know that in the next few years, I'll be running for local leadership, and that I definitely have the city and the citizens at heart.
Well, that's good to know. Thanks for coming in, Dee.
Thank you.